Certainly good to see each and every one this afternoon. It's good to have John, Donna, and Kyra and Katrina with us. Of course, Jeff and Bonnie are back with us this afternoon, and certainly good to have them. Good to have each and every one of you. Continue to miss Reggie. He'll be preaching again this evening for the church in Ellis, and we're mindful of him and the work that he's doing in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Appreciate his labors. John's handing a sheet around that has a song on it that's not in our book that's entitled, Can He Depend on You? I want to talk to you this afternoon about that for just a few moments. Can He, that is God, depend on you? We're going to sing this song here in a few moments together. But I want to think with you about the opposite of that for just a few moments. How much we depend on God? How much do you depend on God? Don't we depend on God for everything? I'm reminded of what's said in the book of John chapter 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We depend on God a great deal, don't we? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Indeed, we depend on God for everything. God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might have everlasting life. Now, with that in mind, can he depend on you? Can he depend on me? I think it's a good question, don't you? It's worth pondering for a few moments this afternoon. Look at the words before we sing this song together. Jesus, the Savior, came down from above, came to bring mercy and love. Crucify him, the mob scornfully cried. So he on Calvary died. While on the cross he prayed, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. For us he died, that we, for him, we might live. Can he depend on you? And then the second verse. He from the grave on the third day arose, missions of man to disclose. Go preach the gospel, all who will may hear. Through him do be free from all fear. Bid them believe, to repent and obey. Walk in the newness of life. Keep the light glowing to show them the way, leading from sin and strife. Verse 3, he is preparing in heaven a home for all his faithful and own. Are you preparing to stand by his side, or in that day be denied? Have you told others the story of love, showing them what they should do? These are the precepts that come from above. Can he depend on you? And then the chorus, can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Can he depend on you? Let's sing this song together. Jesus, the Savior, came down from above, came to bring mercy and love. Crucify him, the mob scornfully cried. So he on Calvary died. While on the cross he prayed, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. For us he died that for him we might live. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? He from the grave on the third day arose, missions of man to disclose. Go preach the gospel, all who will may hear. Through him be free from all fear. Bid them believe to repent and obey. Walk in the newness of life. Keep the light glowing to show them the way, leading from sin and strife. Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? He is preparing in heaven a home for all his faithful and own. Are you preparing to stand by his side, or in that day be denied? Have you told others the story of love, showing them what they should do? These are the precepts that come from above. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? Song, ask a good question. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. You know, not everybody does the will of God, do they? Matter of fact, very few people really do the will of God. It brings up the point that God has a will, and that we're obligated to do it. In the book of 1 John, perhaps you remember, that the text says that the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's 1 John 2 and in verse 17. He that doeth what? The will of God. You see, God does have a will, and we're expected to do it. In the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer spoke of God's will when he said in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." To do what? Thy will. God has a will. In verse 9, "Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second." Jesus came to do the will of God. Can he depend on us to do his will? Must his will be done? Well, let's look at a couple of other verses I think we're very familiar with, or ought to be if we're not. Like in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21. To give us an appreciation for the need for doing the will of God, whatever it may be. When Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You might like to highlight or underscore those words. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's who shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pretty plain, isn't it? And then in the book of Luke, chapter 6, and in verse 46. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord?" Jesus asked this question. "And do not the things which I say." Now there's another good question, isn't it? How many will say, "Lord, Lord," but not do the things that Jesus says? Will not do the will of God? Can he depend on us to do his will? Song asks that question. But as we think about, can he depend on us? Let's think about some additional things in this connection. Can he depend on us to be the salt and the light of the world? Can he? You know, he's depending on us to be the salt and the light of the world, isn't he? Can he depend on you? Remember in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, where in our reading this morning, we read about Jesus going into a mountain and his disciples coming to him, and then he gave the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are they that mourn, and so on and so forth. And then he said, beginning in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Let's talk about salt for just a moment. Who is the salt of the earth? The text says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Jesus, as he spoke to his disciples, he said, "You're the salt of the earth." So if Jesus was here today, and what Jesus is saying to us today, by the way, is, you're, all of us, we're the salt of the earth. But what if the salt has lost his savor? In other words, you've got a salt shaker here, and you put it on whatever you saw, like, let's say, potatoes. But it doesn't change the taste. What would you do with the salt? Well, you'd probably get rid of it, wouldn't you? If the salt is not having any effect, it's not any good. If the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. I suggest to you, there's a time when disciples, now understand what I'm saying, are good for nothing in light of what Jesus said, right? Can you agree with that? There's a time when we're good for nothing if we've lost our Savior, if we've lost our ability to influence others. If we're not having a good influence, what kind of influence are we having? It's either good or it's what? It's either good or it's bad, isn't it? It's either good or it's evil. And if we're not having a good influence, then we've lost something that we really need to regain. It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You might as well just pave a sidewalk with it. Just like when before we pour a walk, we're going to form up the walk and we're going to put down some fill of some kind, maybe some stone or sand or whatever it might be. You might as well just use salt for that, because it's not good for anything else. Can he depend on you to be the salt, to to be the influence that the world needs? Can he? But can he depend on you to be the light of the world? We're not only salt, but we're light. This same opening, matter of fact, the very next verse, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And then he said, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." You know what I'm going to ask, don't you? Can he depend on you? Can he depend on you to be the light of the world? You know, the world is pictured as a dark place. Where darkness abounds, there must be light. Who's the light? You're the light. I'm the light. Christians are the light. The disciples of Christ are the light of the world. Just as much as we are to be the salt of the earth, to have an influence over evil for good, we're expected to be like a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. We're expected to be like a candlestick. No, you don't light a candle and put a bushel basket over it, do you? What good would it do? But does that kind of describe maybe some of us? Just a little bit? That we're letting our light be hid. Oh, it's there, but it's covered up with a bushel basket. Well, what good is that? Doesn't do any good, does it? You put it on a lampstand or on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You know, isn't it amazing how much difference a little light makes? We go down to the barn occasionally, and we don't have any electricity down at the barn, so we'll take a little light, flashlight or a lantern or something, and it's amazing how much difference a little light makes. We've all been in a cave, maybe somewhere, sometime or another, or a spelunker, and somebody says, "Okay, let's turn out all the lights, see how dark it is." And then somebody lights a light or just strikes a match. It's amazing the difference that it makes. Can he depend on you to make a difference in a dark place? Let your light so shine before men. Why? So they can brag on the light, brag on you? No. It's not what it's about. It's not about shining your light. It's about letting your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So they may glorify God. And in light of the song, we're asking, can he depend on us? He doesn't have anyone else to depend on. You think he's going to look to the world to do that? Is God going to look to the world to be the salt of the earth? No. Is God going to look to the world to be the light of the world? No. He looks to us. He looks to his disciples. And he said, "Ye are the salt. Ye are the light. Let your light so shine before men." In Mark 9 and in verse 50, it says, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 12, Peter said, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." They shall behold your good works. See, that's how we are, the salt and the light of the world. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Jesus said in John 13 and in verse 35. Now what's the rest of that? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You see, we can have an impact. We can make a difference. If we have love one to another, then others will know that we are the disciples of Christ. But when there's not that proper love between the disciples of Christ, people aren't going to know. We're not any different from the world. Can he depend on you? See, I think that makes it personal, doesn't it? That applies to each and every one of us here. But not only his blessed will to do, to be the salt and the light of the world, can he depend on you to worship him in spirit and in truth? You see, God is a spirit. The Bible says that, John 4 and in verse 24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But what we're asking is, can he depend on you to do that? Does everybody worship God in spirit and in truth? No, they do not. Matter of fact, Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but what? Their heart is far from me. Isn't that sad? You know, those are some of the saddest words in the Bible. But how many times does that happen today? How many times did that happen this day, you think? Today, I mean. People drawing near to God with their mouth, saying this and saying that, saying one thing, maybe then another, honoring him with their lips, but in reality, their heart is really far from him. He went on to say in Matthew 15, that was verse 8, now in verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, that's the result. When people draw nigh with their mouth only and honor God only with their lips, and their heart is far from God, their worship becomes vain. Now, we don't know what the word vain means, don't we? It's empty. It's not of any profit. It doesn't do you any good. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, worship's a wonderful thing. We enjoy worship, don't we? We ought to enjoy worship. We put our all into our worship. We worship in spirit, the right attitude. We worship in truth, doing the right things as directed by the Word of God. Thy word is truth, John 17, verse 17. And so worship has to be according to the Word of God. But how many times is worship lacking spirit? You ever been to a place and maybe you leave, maybe you're visiting a place and just say something like, where was the spirit? Where was, if you will, the enthusiasm? It just seemed lacking. It seemed like their heart just wasn't in it. That's sad, isn't it? What about the truth? Maybe there's lots of enthusiasm, a lot of zeal. The singing is great. The prayers are enthusiastic, including the things that need to be included. But when it came to the truth, there were just things that were lacking. There were things that were done and practiced they didn't have any authority for. And there were things that they should have been doing they didn't do. It lacked truth. How many times have we seen that? You have to have both. Remember that. You've got to have both. Spirit and truth. Or Jesus said it's vain. Can he depend on you? Did you know that we're all part of that? When it comes to worship, didn't we just participate in congregational singing? You see, God depends on you to have a part in the worship. When maybe we refuse to sing, or we don't sing out like we really could and should, He's not able to depend on you, is He? What about when it comes to the truth and making sure that the things that are done, that are practiced, are scriptural or according to the Word of God? Can He depend on you to maybe say something? Wait a minute, what about, you left this out. Why didn't you partake of the Lord's Supper? Or what about the giving? What about the contribution? Or what about this? What about that? Or why did you include this? I don't see any authority for that. Can He depend on you? Can He? Can He depend on you to worship in spirit and in truth? Another thing. Can He depend on you? The song has this in it, the third verse. Have you told others the story of love? Can He depend on you to tell others the story of love? Showing them what they should do? These are the precepts that come from above. Can He depend on you to do that? I think that's a good question. You know the love that God has for us. We read about that in John 3, verse 16. Remember, God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might be saved through Him. That's the story of love, isn't it? God commendeth His love toward us, the Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The book of Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. Remember in the book of Romans chapter 3? If you'd like to take and turn your Bibles there, we'll read a couple of verses. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. What did He say about sin? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But He also said that we can be justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Christ came to be a propitiation for our sins. Can He depend on you to tell others that? How many have we told that to? Have we ever told anybody that? But I say, well, you know, I'm kind of leaving that to somebody else. The song is asking, can He depend on you? It's not asking, can He depend on others? Others may be doing that. But what about you? What about me? Can He depend on me to tell others the story of love? What about the fellow that I work with or have worked with all these years? You know, he's depending on me to tell that person something, isn't he? What about people in your, folks in your family, relatives? He's depending on you to tell them something, isn't he? Maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a grandchild, whoever it may be. Can he depend on us to tell others the story of love? You see, the story is designed to be told. We're reading and studying in the book of Acts, aren't we? If you're here for our Bible classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, what a wonderful study it's been that Reggie's been leading us through as we're learning and being impressed with the early church, how it was planted in different places and how it grew, how others were told of the story of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." The last earthly thing that Jesus ever said was, "Go and tell others." And you know what? They did. That's the reason we have the book of Acts. We've got the Acts of the Apostles now doing that, carrying out what Jesus just asked them to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They go and they preach. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful that they went and they preached the gospel of Christ? But what about us? Would we go? It's easy to read about that and to gain an appreciation for that and be thankful for that and then not go. Can he depend on you to tell others a story of love? Paul told Timothy that others were to be taught. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among faithful men, the same commit thou," or "the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You see, it's designed to be taught to one, that person teach another, and then that person teach another. And it's not long before the world hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember in the book of Hebrews, the apostle was disappointed at these folks because when by reason of time he said, "You ought to be teachers." How many people could that be said to today, you think? Who are still being taught when they ought to be teaching themselves and teaching others. Hebrews 5, verses 12 to 14. Can he depend on you? Can he depend on me to tell others the story of love? And then one more, and this lesson's yours. Can he depend on you to be faithful to the end? How many people maybe hear the gospel and are enthused about it and enjoy the remission of their sins, are baptized into Christ and therefore enjoy the remission of their sins, but who at some point in time fall away and fail to be faithful to the end? How many? Only God knows, I suppose. How many? You know, it doesn't mean a great deal if we're not faithful to the end, does it? It's kind of like somebody that runs a race. And he says, "You know, I started out really good, and I ran really fast for a long time, but I just finally had to give up." You expect that person to get the prize at the end? It doesn't work that way, does it? And it doesn't work that way when it comes to the end and our salvation. When Paul wrote the Apostle to the Ephesians, he said, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and to the faithful," chapter 1, verse 1, "in Christ Jesus." Faithful. There's emphasis put on being faithful. Again, to the Colossians. Same thing, Colossians 1 and in verse 2. We read about those who were faithful as a way of encouraging us to be faithful. One is faithful Abraham. Galatians 3 and in verse 9. Paul said, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." faithful Abraham. What a wonderful story. The story of Abraham is a story of faithfulness. That's what it's about in one word. One word. Take thy son, thy only son, and offer him for an offering on the mount that I shall show thee. And you remember the rest of the story. They got up early in the morning and they went, and that's exactly what he did. The Bible says that he offered his son because he had to stay his hand to stop him from killing him. But he was prepared. He was faithful. When he said, I want you to leave your land, go to a place that I'll show thee. He didn't say, now where is that? How far is it? And what's it going to be like? He got up and he went and he did what God said. Over and over and over again, it's a story of faithfulness. Why did he choose Abraham in the first place? To be the father, if you will, of a great nation. Because he knew he would command his children. He knew he would be faithful. What a great choice. And it said in the book of 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 2, of us, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, we're the stewards of God, aren't we? It's required. Faithfulness is a requirement of every disciple of Jesus Christ. You remember in the book of Matthew 25 and verse 21, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou, are you with me? Good and faithful servant. What did he say? Well done. Who did he say it to? Thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been, remember the next word, faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, 21. Wouldn't it be great to be able to hear those words? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Who will hear those words? The faithful. Can he depend on you? You know, he's depending on some to be able to say that to. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Will we hear that? And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You remember these words in Matthew 10:22? But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Can he depend on you? His blessed will to do. Will you be crowned with the faithful and true? Can he depend on you? The invitation of our Lord is extended, as always, to give you an opportunity to obey the will of God. As we said and asked, can he depend on you to do the will of his will? He's depending on you. He's depending on me to do his will. Did you hear the gospel of Christ? Would you believe it? Repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He's depending on you. Matter of fact, he sent his son to die for you, that you might be saved. He's depending on us to be faithful, as we've emphasized. But maybe we've not been as faithful as we should. We need to return to our Savior. Return to faithfulness. To faithful living each and every day of our lives. The invitation is going to be sung. The song is going to be sung as a way of extending the invitation to each and every one. To encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ. Would you think about that as we sing this? Can he depend on me? Would you come while we stand and sing?